Praise the Lord. I was asked if I was going to give a report about the work in Africa, and I will just share these two things. After I was here for your missions conference, I went back to Africa, and we had our missions conference. And this year, we had the largest attendance at our conference and the largest promise giving ever. Dr. Mike and Dr. Billy came and preached in our first missions conference in 2000. And so this was our 15th Faith Promise Missions Conference. And you know, the average person in our church makes around $100 to $125 a month. And our giving this year in our cities, Ghana cities, was 5,000 Ghana cities were promised monthly. And that translates into like $1,500 American. And I want to tell you, I was thrilled to see from where we began 15 years ago to what our people are giving today. When we started, they said I was crazy. Now they say, Pastor, God bless you. Because we're seeing God bless our lives because we're giving to missions. And so it's amazing. It's kind of like when you're raising teenagers. Your parents are dumb when you're 16, but somehow by 21, parents get a little smarter. And so when I started them in Faith Promise, I was crazy. And now it's like, God bless you, Pastor, for leading us into this. So I always like to thank Dr. Mike for being that kickoff preacher who came and loved on us and got our African people at the altar to cry, because I hadn't seen them do that until he got there. Then secondly, I would like to share with you that this year we had our 19th anniversary as a church in Africa. And we just had the pastors in our area that were saved, baptized, trained in our Bible school, who pastor churches in our immediate area. So we had six of them preach on a Sunday morning. And my dad was the capstone preacher. He was number seven. So if you've ever gone to church and heard seven preachers, that's what we did on our Easter, our 19-year anniversary, and it was exciting. I'm the founding pastor, and I didn't get to preach because the men that we led to Christ in our pastoring churches now, they all wanted to tell God and the congregation what Calvary Baptist Church has meant to them. And so what a day of rejoicing we had, and I just want to thank you for your part in our ministry. And Pastor Tyler and I are talking about our next church missions trip to Ghana. So don't think we've forgotten. We're looking at 2017 very seriously, and we're praying that God would bring it all together so we're ready for a great trip from a group of people from here to Worth to come to Ghana. If you haven't seen the ministry there, you'll see it with your own eyes and be able to rejoice what God is doing. I ask you to turn with me in your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 together, so let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. In Africa, I've been preaching a series in our church called The Names of the Church, what the Bible refers to the local church. And when I was home for our Faith Promise Missions Conference, I shared one of those messages with you. And does anybody remember what it's called? You are the salt of the earth. I can't believe you've already forgotten. That was just a couple months ago. I was counting on you, Brother Jimmy, to remember you are the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. Tonight we want to look at this special name in the Bible, that we are those that call upon the name of Jesus Christ. That's one of our names as a church. I'm reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place, can you read it with me? Call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. What a very special name that's given unto us. We are the group of people that call upon the name of Jesus Christ as Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless our time in your word tonight, that our eyes would be fixed on Jesus Christ, that we would realize what does it mean to call upon the name of Jesus Christ as Lord. Please bless us, Lord, as we study your word, that we would leave here on fire to do your will. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Growing up, we were always told that it's bad to say the name Jesus Christ. Growing up, you would hear people say it, and if you ever tried to repeat it, my mom or dad would put a hurting on you if you said it. And so we got the idea that we weren't really supposed to say that name Jesus Christ, right? because it was used in a wrong manner in society. The name of Jesus Christ was used as a swear word, as a word of blasphemy. And so we have to ask ourselves, where did this come from? Why do people do that? Why is it that anytime there's a problem or something bad happens, someone says the name Jesus Christ? And it's not in a nice manner. It's almost like they're blaming him for what has happened. But if you will study the history of what the church is, you will find out that we were once called those that call upon the name of Jesus Christ. It so marked and identified the church that as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he says, you are the ones who call on the name of Jesus Christ. And so we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean to call on the name of Jesus Christ? And I want you to look at four calls with me tonight, because I believe every person here tonight must desire to master the four sacred calls as we call on the name of Jesus Christ. If you misuse his name, it becomes a problem. But if you understand the right use of his name, it's powerful. And I think because the world is misusing his name, the church is not correctly using his name. And we're losing the power of his name because the world misuses his name. And then we shy away from using his name in the way the Word of God intended. So I want us to begin looking at these four sacred calls. The first call we find in the scripture is called the call of salvation. We find that in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10 verse 9, Paul is telling those in Rome that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you will believe in your heart that God hath raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, amen. Those of you who go soul winning, you know you use that verse all the time. You must bring a person to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the source of salvation. And so whenever we're talking about getting saved, someone's going to have to call on the name of Jesus Christ. Try to lead someone to Christ and have them not mention his name. I would tell you it's impossible. Because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so I don't believe you can be saved if you don't confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You have to believe it. You have to confess it. So the first call, the first call in your life is the call of salvation. That's the first time you call on Jesus' name in the correct manner, where you bow your head and you admit, I'm a sinner. And you tell God, you know you don't deserve his salvation. But in his great love, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ died and he buried and he rose again. And you are confessing that Jesus Christ is your Savior. This is a wonderful day in your life. It's the day you called on the name of Jesus Christ. And we call that your birthday. Jesus said you must be born again. And you're born again the moment you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's the first call. And without this call, you don't need to be calling on his name, because you have no relationship to him. In Romans 10:13 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you see how important his name is? His name is very important. And we as a church are forgetting that we are those that call upon his name. That's what brought us into this family. If you're here tonight and you're a member of Worth Baptist Church, you're only a member here because there was a day you called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you could not be a member here. Because that is the first step of qualification for you to come to this church. That yes, I have confessed that Jesus Christ is my Lord. That's the first call. The second call is the call of baptism. And you say, Steve, the call of baptism? Yes. Do you know that when we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus? Yeah, you listen to Paul preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he gets to the end of his message, and he tells them in Acts 2:21, Acts 10:48, sorry, when Peter is with Cornelius. He says to Cornelius, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And that's the Lord Jesus, because that's who Peter preached to Cornelius. And so he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, because that's who Peter preached to Cornelius. When you go over to Romans chapter 6, that great passage on baptism, Romans chapter 6, we start reading in verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were what? Into who? We're baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Literally, the whole process of baptism is the symbol of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How can you baptize not calling on the name of Jesus Christ? When you enter into the baptismal tank, the pastor usually asks you, "Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" And they say, "Yes, I have trusted in Christ the Savior." And so your first call of salvation is the first call time you call on the name of Jesus Christ is the call of salvation. The second time chronologically is this call for the baptism. When you come and you publicly confess, "Jesus Christ is my Savior." And that is the call that the church hears. And the church recognizes you as a brother or sister in Christ. And you're welcomed into the membership of the church. Are you with me? We're working through these calls. Well, what's the third call? The third call is the call for forgiveness. The call for forgiveness. Do you know that when the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray," that Jesus told them to pray for what? Yes, he told them to pray for daily bread, but he also told them that they should pray for forgiveness. But this prayer for forgiveness is tied together with giving forgiveness to others. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do you know you cannot call on the Lord for forgiveness if you're not willing to give it? It doesn't work. You can't go to the Lord and say, "Lord, forgive me of my sin, wash me of my sin, cleanse me," while you hold another brother or sister in Christ hostage. Jesus didn't say you could do that. He said, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then you're going to pray in whose name? Yeah, forgiveness is in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get forgiveness because you're going to pray under the blood of Jesus Christ. And so in this call for forgiveness, we see there in Revelations, turn with me, that it's very specific that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes our sin and not the waters of baptism. In Revelations chapter 1, Revelations chapter 1, verse 4. John is writing and says, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness or the faithful martyr and the first begotten of the dead, in the prince of the king of the earth, unto him that loved us and what? Washed us from our sins in his own blood." And so anytime I'm going to God for forgiveness, I go to God for forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. Because it's only through Christ that there's forgiveness of sins. Through his blood, through his sacrifice, it's through Christ that there's forgiveness of sins. So I pray to the Father in the name of his Son. And so the church must constantly be calling on the name of the Lord for forgiveness. You and I must call on his name for forgiveness and then let other people go free. What happens is we want freedom from our sin, but we don't want to give freedom to others. There are people that say, "Well, I can't forgive him." That's a terrible thing to say. When you cannot forgive, you cannot be forgiven. So who are you holding hostage? You're condemning yourself. And so all of this pride and arrogance that says, "I will determine who will be forgiven, who will not be forgiven," you make yourself God. Because Jesus said, in his name, because of what he's done, "As I've freely forgiven you, you must also" what? "Freely forgive." We're bound by his love to forgive others. We're not permitted to hold hatred and grudges and revenge, because when we call upon his name, we must call according to his will. And so if Jesus taught us to pray, "Father, forgive us as we forgive our debtors, you will not properly call upon his name until you've learned forgiveness is bound up in me forgiving others. So when I want God to forgive me, I must be faithful to forgive others. And I'm bound by calling upon his name. Because how do I go to Jesus and say to the Lord, Lord, please beg the Father on my behalf for forgiveness? And he says, have you forgiven this person? I said, no, Lord. He says, well, why don't we wait? He's the mediator, isn't he? There's only one mediator between God and man. And you're going to go to the mediator and tell the mediator, please beg for my forgiveness. And he says, wait a minute. But have you forgiven? He said, no. And he says, we better wait on this request until you get right with your brother. Leave your sacrifice at the altar and go and make right with your brother that you might come and really worship your God. You see, you can't tell Jesus to go to God with a bad request. He won't do it. He has a system that he works with. We must first release others from their debts before we go to the Father to be forgiven of our own debts. So we have these three calls. And once we understand these three calls, we're getting ready for the fourth call. First, we call in salvation. Second, we call in baptism to confess him before the church body. Third, we keep ourselves clean and in a right relationship with God by calling upon his name for forgiveness. That's our daily fellowship, friendship with God. The fourth call is the call that we need to master, and that is the call for strength. To be able to call upon the name of the Lord for strength. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 19. To see what happens when someone calls on the name of the Lord. And they have no business using his name. They don't know him. They don't love him. They have not called on him for salvation. They have not followed him in baptism. And they have not had their sins forgiven. Be with a daily friendship or fellowship with God. In Acts chapter 19. You see, there were people watching Paul. Watching Peter and seeing him do great things. And verse 11 tells us, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to what? Call over them that had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Here's a problem. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know him. Their distance from Jesus was so far, they couldn't say, Jesus Christ, my Lord. They couldn't say, Jesus Christ, my Savior. They never had called on his name that he's their Messiah. He just said, we adjure you, we command you in the name of Jesus, the Jesus that Paul preaches about. Because they didn't know him. And so here are these seven sons of Sceva trying to cast out a demon. And I want you to hear what the demon says to them. It's pretty scary when he says to them, he's calling on the name of Jesus. In verse 14 it says, and there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But what's the question? But who are you? But who are you? Do you know you have no business calling on the name of the Lord if he's not your Savior? Satan will clearly ask you, who do you think you are? Who are you? It's like he says, you're nothing. You're nobody. Do you know when we become someone? We become someone when we call on the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we sing, there's strength in the name of the Lord. There's hope in the name of the Lord. There's power in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But these men called upon the name of the Lord, not knowing him, not having a relationship with him, not being forgiven of their sins. And this demon says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And 16 says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell upon all them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was what? Magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all the men, and they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Do you know when the word of God is going to grow and prevail? It's when we know how to use the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. But somehow the church has forgotten. And now we have a church full of people that constantly say, I can't do that. I can't do that. Pastor, that's not my gift. That's not my skill. I just don't have the personality to do that. I can't go soul winning. I can't knock doors. I can't teach children. And now we're always telling God what we can and can't do. But that's not what the church is supposed to be or do. The church is supposed to be a group of people that have mastered the sacred calls, and they know how to call on the name of the Lord. And here's how it works. Once we understand that the seven sons of Sceva didn't know how to use this name, it's because they had not called in salvation. They had not called in baptism. They had not called in forgiveness. They just tried to use his name like it was magic. They don't know him. And that's why when you meet someone, when something bad happens and they say Jesus Christ, I'll tell you right now, they haven't ever called on his name this way. Because when you've called on his name in salvation, in baptism, forgiveness of sins, you don't play with his name. His name is a lovely name. His name is a powerful name. It's the sweetest name you know. You don't use it carelessly like Tom, Dick, or Harry. It is Jesus. And you know, in his name, sinners are forgiven. In his name, people are saved. In his name, great things are done. And that's why his name is precious to us, because there's only one name like Jesus Christ, the Jesus of Nazareth, who saved our souls. And so we have let the world take a precious name and use it as a name of blaspheming and swearing, so that now our children grow up in the house, and if your son says the name Jesus Christ, you say, hey, be careful. The name of Jesus Christ should be on his lips, but it should be in a godly fashion. Not when something bad happens, but every time something good happens. Glory to Jesus Christ. We're going to do this in Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory. And we need to have a revival in our homes where the name of Jesus Christ is put back in its proper place. It's taken back from the world. It's not a cuss word. It's a powerful name. It's the name above every name. And so when we look at what Paul said to the church at Corinth, we are those that call upon the name of the Lord. So why are we have a church full of people that say, I can't? People say to me, Steve, you live in Africa. I could never do that. You know what? I can't do it either. And I don't want to do it. It's not in me to do it. I don't have a desire to do it. But you know, when I fall in love with him, he told me, Steve, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And it's dependency upon him. And then you call on his name and say, Lord, I'm not able to go to Africa. I'm not able to leave my family. I'm not able to leave my country. I'm not able to live with those people and minister to them. I can't live with the malaria and the mosquitoes and all of the trials and the problems and the sickness. But you know what? When you love him and you believe there's power in his name, you say, in Jesus' name, I can do it. And there's a change that goes on in your heart. You know what? You say, I've never taught children. You know what? In Jesus' name, you can do it. You say, I've never gone door knocking. In Jesus' name, you can do it. But something's got to change in you where you realize that his name is a supernatural name. It's a name that can empower you to do what you can't do in the flesh. What you're not capable of doing, he can make you capable. But you're not calling on his name for strength. You just said, well, I've called on his name for salvation. I've called on his name for baptism, and I've called on his name for forgiveness. But you haven't gone forward in your maturity to call on his name to do extraordinary things. Things you yourself can't do. And you say, I know it's not possible for me to do it, but I know in the name of Jesus Christ I can. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as we study the word of God and we think about the strength that's in his name, there is a right thing. In Philippians 4:13, when it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I like to insert this one word. And you say, Steve, isn't it sinful to add to the word of God? Let me add it, then tell you why I add it. I can do all the right things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what? Christ will never strengthen me to do wrong. He will never lead me to do wrong. So I know when it says all things, it's talking about all the right things, all the righteous things, all the good things. And you know what? Some of us live in sin and we're doing it okay, but you're not doing that in Jesus' name. But when something's tough to do and you need the power of God, you say, I can't do that. But you're not supposed to be doing these things, and you are supposed to be doing these things. And we tell ourselves, I can sin pretty good. But when it comes to doing something great for God, what do we use? The I can't do it card. That's just not my personality. And we use that as a crutch and excuse why we don't do more for the Lord. And God doesn't let us off the hook that easy. In Colossians 3:17 we read, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Everything we do in His name. When I married my wife in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I will never break this covenant with you. Do you see? His name came into my marriage. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I will not fail my wife. Because I swore to God to be faithful to her before a congregation, before my God. And in Jesus' name, I'm married to her. And in Jesus' name, I will raise my children for His honor and for His glory. And in Jesus' name, we will preach the gospel. Do you see what changes? You go to work in whose name? In Jesus' name, you get up and you go to work. In Jesus' name, you drive your vehicle. Before you go, you say, Lord, lead me, guide me, bless me. And all of a sudden, you know what? You would realize that we are those that call upon His name, because we're supposed to, everything we do is supposed to be in His name. And it changes everything we do. Here we are at the beginning of the Mount of Barim conference. And I want you to know that nothing will happen of eternal value if it's not done in Jesus' name. We are not looking to the greatness of the preachers that are coming. We're looking to the greatness of Jesus Christ to get a hold of the preachers that are here. The missionaries that are here, the reports that are given are not done in their name. If I tell you anything about Africa, we did not do that in Stephen's name. We did it in Jesus' name. He enabled, He blessed, and He leads and He guides. And so I bring you tonight and I ask you, this year, will you learn to master this fourth call? You have called in salvation. You have called in baptism. You've called for forgiveness. But I think the church is failing to use the fourth call, where we're more like the seven sons of Sceva, where we really don't know His name. We say, you know, I command you in Pastor Tyler's name. In Jesus' name that Pastor Tyler preaches about. Because maybe you don't know Him like Pastor Tyler knows Him. There has to be a personal knowledge where you can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, I can do this. And so there has to be a revival that goes on in our heart that says, you know what? This is a year where I'm going to fall in love with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do things in His name for His glory. And when you do something in someone's name, you're doing it for them. I've noticed, I've picked up some of the hymnals, and I've seen in the hymnals that someone has donated that in the name of somebody else. Do you realize that? That's to remember that person. Do you know what? Every time we attempt great things in His name, He's remembered. And He's given the honor. And He's given the glory. But when we do Him in our name, for our fame, for our glory, we fail Him. And so we must get our focus back. This calling on the name of Jesus, it's not a light thing. His name should often be on our lips. Husbands, you can look at your wife and say, I love you in Jesus' name. And you know, that's the sweetest love that lady will ever know about. Because when Jesus Christ controls a man, the love He gives His wife is a pure love, a holy love, a godly love, an agape love, and the 1 Corinthians 13 love. But I'll tell you, when a worldly man looks at a woman and says, I love you, it doesn't usually mean what you think it means. It means I want something from you. And I'm telling you, when a man loves a woman in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. So the scripture says, husbands, love your wives. Yeah, now you're getting it. When you do things in Jesus' name. Ladies, when you look at your husband and say, I love you in Jesus' name, you're saying, because I love Jesus, I submit myself to your authority, and I will love you, and I will strengthen you, and I will enable you to be all that God has called you to be. And you can see transformation in your marriage, because instead of loving someone for what you get, you love them because of Jesus Christ. And that's a transforming love. And when that love happens in our house, our kids will see our marriages and say, you know what, Mom and Dad have something pretty sweet. It's not romantic, it's divine. There's a lot of romance in Italy, but there's also a lot of sin in Italy. Many times when a man romances a woman, he uses wine. But when you do things in Jesus' name, you do it for His glory. I call you tonight. Will you remember to call on the sacred name of Jesus Christ in all that you do? What if we go out soul winning and we say, Lord, in your name, we're going out to knock these doors. And in your name, we want to lead someone to Christ. It's not for our glory. It's for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take this message tonight and you'd use it in the heart of the church. I think the world has stolen the holy name of Jesus Christ from us, and the church needs to get your name back. Your name needs to be on our lips. It needs to be in our home. It needs to be in our marriages. It needs to be in our love for one another. That we take membership at Worth Baptist Church in Jesus' name to advance His kingdom, and not for the benefits that we have in the church, but that we would have a place to work out our salvation. Please, Lord, take control of this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.